MoneyWeb at midday. Top stories to keep your eyes and ears on.
South Africa's banking and financial sector is under constant threat from increasingly sophisticated criminal syndicates. In response, the South African Banking Risk Information Centre, we know it better as SABRIC, has launched something called Project Big Bang. It's an initiative aimed at combating financial crime and protecting consumers. So what does this initiative entail? Is it really going to change the landscape of banking security? And I wonder if it's going to be enough to stay ahead of cyber criminals. I'm joined now by Nishal Mewalal, who's Chief Executive Officer of SABRIC. So, Nishal, a very warm welcome. Let's start with the basics very quickly. What is Project Big Bang and why is it suddenly necessary at this time?
Well, let me start off by saying Project Big Bang was launched in response to the alarming rise in the ATM bombings that were happening across South Africa. And, you know, these events were not just causing financial losses, but critical to us was that the number of lives it was putting in danger. I mean, you just think about it. Think most of our ATMs are in malls and in garage forecourts. Can you imagine these things going off and citizens all around there? So our aim of the project was simple. Let's bring the correct guys around the table. And you've already mentioned SABRIC, online intelligence, private security companies, petroleum security initiative, and all of us working as one team. So that was the plan.
So without giving away strategic intent here, how successful has this been so far?
Well, the project has certainly seen some successes already. In the months that have been gone by, we've seen a decrease in around 32% of the incidents that are happening. But the trick has been the collaboration. It's not necessarily about the numbers right now. It's a bit early to measure, but it's been the collaboration. The collaboration has been the game changer in response to the incidents. The trick has been the ability to pool our skills, the unique skills and resources to deal with the criminals.
Had we got to a point, or could we still reach a point where banks are now saying this is simply a no-go area as far as ATMs are concerned because of the security risk attached?
Yeah, look, I think that security and ATMs, the scenario has become quite complicated. It's not possible just to put an ATM up anymore without the necessary infrastructure that's got to support it. So you've got to have the necessary monitoring capabilities, internet capabilities, private security have got to be able to respond to it. So, you know, if we leave it unattended, we're going to find ourselves in a situation where people don't have access to financial facilities anymore. So we've got to do what needs to be done in order to make the different zones safer so that these ATMs can continue staying in place.
The criminal syndicates themselves, I said at the start of this conversation that they have become increasingly sophisticated. What is the intelligence like on who they are and what their modus operandi is?
Yeah, so, you know, keep in mind that banks are traditionally not in the business of intelligence gathering, right? That's the domain of our police services and some private sector outfits. But what we've come to realize is that understanding the incidents and the ability to harness the access to information that all of us have to be able to pool the resources, that is absolutely critical. So there's quite a number of insights that have come out of being able to analyze that data. You know, data that comes out of forensic analysis of cell phone devices or tower information in the specific areas. So there's masterful insights that are able to be used to be able to identify a perpetrator. And that's what this initiative was about, leveraging the access of information we all have lawfully to be able to get the job done.
Given that we are gradually moving away from cash into a more digital world as far as banking is concerned, let me pivot slightly and suggest to you that cybercrime is also evolving rapidly. Do you have a sense of the scale of what it's like right now and whether SABRIC is staying ahead of that particular dynamic?
Thanks, Jeremy. I think that's a very interesting pivot and I like where you're going with this one. Look, our problem has exponentially grown. You've raised this issue at the correct time, and the core risk we face now is the use of artificial intelligence to be able to people out of millions and millions of rands. In fact, later on, SABRIC is going to be speaking about exactly that, and we're not catching up. We're beginning to fall behind because our regulatory processes, our legal processes will certainly never be as preemptive as what criminals are leveraging. So let me give you an example, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure you would have heard of a thing called a deep fake. I'm sure many of the listeners know it. But today, these criminals are leveraging deepfake videos to purport to be bank officials soliciting you into engaging in investment opportunities. And then they are creating counterfeit applications that are on your phone. You download these things, this thing is harnessing the data in your phones itself. So it's become extremely complicated and people are being taken for a song. We have incidents upon incidents that are now known to us and we're looking into it.
So how can the industry stay more preemptive then, given the sophistication of the syndicates, as you've just outlined? It would seem to me that this is a war that you simply cannot win.
It's a war which, firstly, this is not a unique thing to South Africa, as we know. It's a global phenomenon. But the trick is we have to begin to modernize the way we are doing these investigations, not just within the banking sector, but in the entire ecosystem. We've also got to think about the way we empower consumers to be able to make their choices when they're about to execute a payment. So it's that. And then we've got to also look at whether we are constructed appropriately from a regulatory perspective and tooled appropriately to investigate these things. It's a completely new world out there from a law enforcement, crime combating perspective, and we just need to be able to adapt to the changes, and we haven't adapted as yet.
And part of the problem, and I guess exacerbating the issue, is the lack of capacity or perhaps knowledge of the SAPS in that respect to deep dive into more sophisticated criminal investigation.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, we all understand and know of the financial constraints and the operational priorities of the South African police services. But equally, it's the consumer that is also playing a critical role in understanding what not to do. And our concern here now is that these crimes have evolved to such a point where an ordinary guy is not able to know the difference between what's real and what's fake. And there is no mechanism for them to be able to validate what's going on. Like in a traditional transaction, there are ways in which you can validate whether this is genuine or not. But in this scenario, it's extremely difficult. So there's more investment that's got to be made in terms of how people are able to know what's right and what's wrong. So really, the trick is, if you are receiving these overtures, contact your bank, have that conversation, know whether this is real. Just don't go ahead with things like this.
The warning certainly has been sounded, and not for the first time, but maybe time that we stood up and took a little bit more notice, I guess. Nishal Mewalal, thank you very much indeed, Chief Executive Officer of the South African Banking Risk Information Centre. I appreciate your time.